When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Warcrafters and Overwatchers, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to episode 219 of Realm Maintenance, also known as part 1 of Yearly Maintenance for 2016. My name is Ro, thank you as always for listening, and I don't have to talk too much for this episode because I did plenty of talking for the past 50-some-odd weeks. So, what you are going to be hearing this Friday, and every Friday in December, is an additional question that I asked practically all of the guests that I've had on this show during the course of the year. Now, the question may have been asking them to look ahead at what was going to be coming in the months to come, or at BlizzCon or some such, or it could have been on something that was very topical at the time. I really had no exact formula for what question I was going to ask. A lot of them were relatively spontaneous. Some of these questions that I originally had planned were covered in the interview, so I had to come up with something else off the top of my head. At any rate, the reason why I wanted to do it this way this time of year is because I know that during the holiday season, content from a lot of us is a bit on the downside because we're all busy with holidays, family gatherings, planning for all that stuff, shopping, yada yada, you get the drift. So, content in general slows down to a crawl. And I wanted to do the exact opposite of that so I could give you guys more to listen to, even if it's not necessarily coming directly from these podcast feeds, you get a little more content here. Also, make sure that you are paying attention to this entire show because at some point during this episode and each yearly maintenance episode, I will be breaking in to give you the name of a podcaster for a Blizzard podcast. And what you will want to do is email realmpodcast@gmail.com with contest in the subject line. Let me know the name of the podcaster that I mentioned for that episode, and you will be entered to win a Mischief companion pet for World of Warcraft. The winner will be drawn randomly from all of the acceptable entries, and I will try to announce who those winners are on the following Friday. You'll have until Thursday to listen to the show, so that's basically how it's going to work. So let's jump right into it and turn the clock all the way back to January. You may hear that some of these segments are shorter than others, and I let some segments go much longer than others. I just kind of played around with the feel of the question and answer segment and went with what I felt worked. So not everyone gets exactly equal time. Blame me, don't blame them. Without further ado, let's turn the clock all the way back to the beginning of January. Here is part one of Yearly Maintenance 2016. Enjoy the show. Alright, so here we are returning to the hosts, at least three of the five hosts of the WoW Talk podcast from MashThoseButtons.com. I have Nick, Jeremy, and Katie here with me. You guys might remember them from one of the very first interviews of this year. How y'all doing? Well, we just got done doing the actual interview, and you get to be the guinea pigs for this whole experiment thing. Are you ready?
Yep.
So ready.
So basically, I just wanted to ask you a bonus question, and I figured since we are at the beginning of 2016, I very simply like to go around the table here and get your predictions for World of Warcraft in 2016. Now, you can go ahead and be, straight about the predictions. You can go for like a wacky prediction that's probably not going to happen at all. Whatever floats your boat. So, Jeremy, what is your prediction for World of Warcraft in 2016? It can be about anything or everything WoW related.
Based on the track that they seem to be on, I see it becoming an action RPG halfway through 2016, if not right when Legion launches. I feel they seem to be making it more Diablo-ish, or Diablo. I always say that name wrong. Because when I first started playing World of Warcraft in vanilla, it seemed to be Diablo-ish. There was random loot all over the place. It's pretty much what Diablo was all about. Kill a bunch of enemies, get a bunch of loot. Felt like it was pretty much the same thing. Turned out I was way wrong. And now it seems like it's kind of going in that direction because there's world legendaries that have all sorts of weird, unique properties that are very action RPG oriented. So yeah, I see them kind of turning the game on its head eventually.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because another thing that they had brought up, of course, at BlizzCon last year was their plans for heroic dungeons, and how the difficulty could get higher and higher with, I guess, man, I want to say keystones or runestones or something like that, where it, from week to week, it'll be a different set of rules, and the gear you get depends on how hard the difficulty of heroic you do. It's like, or that's their new way of doing mythics, is what it's supposed to be. Of course, as people are listening to this 12 months later, this whole dungeon system could be entirely different than what they talked about. But no, I definitely agree. It is interesting that they are borrowing a few more things from Diablo in that way. Katie, how about you? What kind of prediction do you have for World of Warcraft in 2016?
Demon hunters. Demon hunters everywhere.
I don't know. Are you sure we're getting demon hunters? That seems like a stretch.
Oh, man. Oh, man. If they pulled the plug on that right now, I would lose it. But no, I think for 2016, well, okay, I'm a mount collector, so I know there's a lot of cool mounts coming out, and there's a moose that I need to get, but there's going to be more meese. I'm excited for that. But let's see, as far as the game goes, I think there's going to be a lot of really awesome lore. I'm crossing my fingers and praying that we get more than one patch of lore, and it's not just in-game content. It's not like, hey, Twitter's installed, and end-game content.
Okay, here's a question. Do you think that we are going to get a content patch where there's no raid, but a sizable amount of lore content? Kind of similar to what they did in Pandaria.
I would be okay with that if that happened. It's hard to say, because I've kind of noticed, and I'm sure other people have too, but there's like a trend where they'll test something on us, and then they'll implement it in the next expansion, depending on how well it goes. And something, well, at least I think that's what they're doing, and it certainly seems that way. Like, if you think about the Pandaren farm, and then the garrison, because they're like, hey, people really like this little tiny piece of land to themselves that they're phased out. Let's make a garrison where that happens to you all the time. And if you go and poke around at different parts of Warcraft, you'll find that they've done this hundreds of times over. There's so many iterations, and now I can't think of any to, you know, back this up. But I think that there are things we'll look back on in Draenor and go, oh, look how they really implemented that over here. And, you know, we like this now, and they'll continue that. So I don't have any specific predictions to see what they're testing, but I will be thrilled to find out, you know, what they've used us guinea pigs for in this expansion and moving on into the next one.
Really quick off the top of your head, since you did talk about moose and mounts and stuff, name a mount that we're going to get in Legion that we don't know about yet.
I'm so excited. There's going to be these cool Felbat things. And, this, you know, it's not official, but they have saddles on them. And so my fingers are crossed that we're going to be able to fly these super cool, like, Felbat demon things. And so excited.
Let's hope it's not on the Blizzard store. Nick, what is your prediction for 2016 for WoW?
I think we're going to see Sargeras. Ooh. I think that, and not just like an avatar of Sargeras, we're not just going to hear his voice
you
through some kind of portal.
Sargeras.
I mean the Sargeras. Ooh. I think he is going to finally show up at some point. I don't quite know exactly how. I mean, presumably at least somewhere in the Broken Isles, but with the size of the Legion invasion that they're calling for, the fact that we're going around getting these artifacts for the Titans to repel this, I think we're going to see Sargeras, and I think we might actually even have some sort of Titanic interaction. As far as what that leads to, that would be in 2017.
Yeah, I can't even fathom fighting Sargeras as a raid boss, you know? That just seems a little too big. It feels like we would need to, like, help a Titan fight Sargeras or something like that. I don't know.
The Titan will get the kill steal, just like we always get somebody to steal kills in the raids. But,
we'll take care of his hangnails or something like that.
Exactly.
We'll fight Sargeras's big toe.
Well, I actually had an input here. It's going to be interesting to see lore-wise as we proceed through Legion. It would be proceeding into 2017, but it'll be interesting to see where Legion starts to take us lore-wise, because I'm hoping that we get to go to the Burning Legion homeworld at some point, because I think that would be neat. And, you know, everyone was like, oh, you know, Draenor, and you're like, no, Draenor's the orc planet. That's different. But it'll be interesting to see what the next expansion after this brings as well, so I'm super excited.
Oh my gosh. Katie, already early 2016 and you're talking about the expansion after Legion.
I'm so
excited. Don't worry, you're not alone.
down.
I'm like planning out my lore. I'm like, oh, well, if this happens, what's going to happen here? So it'll be interesting to see where this takes us lore wise. So I'm all attentive right now.
And I'm going to stop right there. All right, so I'm here with the hosts of Velen's Chosen, a Hearthstone podcast geared for people who are getting into the game and trying to approach it on a budget. For the bonus question for yearly maintenance here, folks, and we'll start with you, Eve. I was wondering, we're kind of looking back at the year in a way and making predictions here. What are some ways that Team 5 can make Hearthstone more accessible for new players in 2016, because the game is getting pretty darn big?
I'm hoping by now that they have made a way to make the card pool more accessible to new players. One of the ideas I heard on another podcast was to make some of the cards classic cards. So to take the entire GBG collection basically and make it earnable like the classic ones are through leveling up the different characters.
Do you think that the classic set should be revised and like there should be like a new core set of classic cards from like year to year or so?
Absolutely. As long as they make a lot of the cards still available through Brawl or through other ways so that people don't feel like they're losing something that they paid for or that they earned. A core set of cards is something that they also do in Magic the Gathering, and I think it's a really good idea.
What about you, Andrew? What's another way you think that Team 5 can make Hearthstone more accessible and not as intimidating for a new player coming into it?
I think a big thing is that the reward in Arena has to let you choose which pack you get. Or there has to be some kind of, I don't have as much in this collection yet, so I'm going to choose this as my focused reward. I think that they did a great job starting that with the classic pack for the Spectator Quest, but I think they've got to go further because Goblins versus Gnomes especially is the most likely candidate to get overlooked. But with Dr. Boom in that set, you got to make that accessible somehow. So I think Arena is going to be the Arena Rewards specifically is an area where they can do that.
Sounds good. And what about you, Rob?
I think that they can, as they're rolling out newer content, there's got to be some sort of method that Blizzard will need to take with especially old adventures because they become such staple cards. They really need to start making Naxxramas and Black Rock Mountain eventually. I'm not saying like even in the current state of the game that they need to do this, but they, by the time that people are listening to this show, they might have to basically take the gold per wing and maybe discount that by close to half and start getting people those cards. Because they are so critical, they should get them easier, or maybe they should be able to unlock with a flat rate of gold the whole thing, basically what that costs for a single wing, or maybe two wings. So maybe 1,000 gold, you unlock all of Naxx, or something like that. And like I 100% agree with Eve and Andrew's like stuff there. Those are great suggestions too. I want to say there's probably another thing that they can do with cards is maybe make the it sounds weird to say like maybe they need to make more bad cards like that are like epic and legendary so people don't get so upset that they're not pulling legendary after legendary because like it does make me happy that there's only a few good legendaries or a few good epics that you really are going to need because those are the rarer cards and the more tough ones to get and craft. I feel like they need to make better quality common cards that will replace the higher ones or at least be powerful enough to substitute.
So you're saying more Astral Communions and more Piloted Shredders.
Not bad RNG cards. I didn't say that. I'm just kidding.
And just really quick, since I got another minute here, quick yes or no prediction from each of you. Will Secret Paladin still be torturing players by the time people are listening to this question at the end of the year? Rob?
If there's two new secrets, yes.
Eve?
No.
And Andrew?
If there's two new secrets, no.
Oh! Have to be contrary, that's awesome.
That's right.
That's how we roll.
And with me right now, I have Richter and Stone from the Richter Scale podcast. You heard them back in January. And guys, I have a question for you that, although a lot of these clips are and questions are going to feel kind of time capsule-y, I wanted to ask a few of the shows in my bonus questions, just asking about podcasting in general, especially because you're both involved in multiple shows. So, Richter, I want to ask you, what has been your biggest challenge in putting together the Richter Scale or any other podcast, and what have you done to try and overcome it?
A lot of it's been just the show quality. I had a poop computer before, and then I got a better computer. But trying to get the cues down, the sounds correct, that was the biggest challenge. And finding the right, you know, the right co-host too. So that's another, difficult thing to do, but it's hard to pinpoint. We had a bunch of technical difficulties at the start of the Richter Scale. And Stone actually, helped me pound those things out.
Awesome. And for you, Stone, I mean, obviously you helped Richter out overcome some of those challenges. For you on where it's the Richter Scale or your WoW Challenges podcast, what has been your biggest challenge in putting a podcast together, and what have you done to overcome those challenges?
I would definitely say the technical aspect of it, putting everything together to make it look good in X split. And, I actually got a lot of help from Havox, from Cuddles, from, Ursangus, who helped me a lot with my sound, problems too. Lita, when we were doing episode one of my own show, the amount of preparation time you need to put into it, she showed me you need to put in a lot of time to make it a good show, because you can absolutely tell when people don't prepare. And it was just, I thought it was only going to take about X amount. It was actually X plus 10, right? So that was one of the largest things, and getting myself on track to always keep that up. That's been the biggest challenge for me, but I think we've hurdled that. Awesome. I hope.
I definitely think you've made a lot of progress. It's an ongoing thing with every podcast, even with Realm Maintenance, even with the big shows like Convert to Raid or The Instance. No podcast is perfect for sure. Yeah. And really quick, just one final question, a really short one, but it might be a tricky one to answer. And I'll start with you, Stone. What is the single most important thing when it comes to putting a podcast, but you only get to answer in one word?
What's the single most important thing?
In one word, what's the most important thing in podcasting?
Dedication.
And Richter, what's the single most important thing in podcasting for you in one word?
Show notes.
That's not one word.
And it's a complete lie.
All right, it is January 26th as I'm recording this, and I'm talking right now to Joe and Dead Greed from Your WoW Money. They were part of episode 178 of Realm Maintenance. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Hello again.
Hello again. It feels like forever since we talked, even though it's really been just a couple minutes. For the question I want to ask you guys, this is really going to kind of show a bit of the whole time capsule aspect of yearly maintenance this year, because as we mentioned near the end of the regular interview, Joe, you had talked a little bit about the whole thing of 100 gold or just costing gold to switch specs in Legion. And of course, there was, for a short period of time, there was a lot of hullabaloo that on the alpha, the devs had made it so that it would cost 100 gold to switch specs in Legion. Now, as we're recording this, that is, of course, a placeholder value. As you're listening to us from the future, we don't know if the cost actually ended up being a thing, if it went higher or lower, but it's still a little bit interesting to talk about this, because from my point of view, it looks like the dev team are looking for new ways to put gold sinks in the game. And my question to each of you, and we'll start with you, Joe, is how important do you feel gold sinks are in World of Warcraft? And I was wondering, what kind of gold sinks do you think could be put into the game that would result in as little uproar as possible, but still get the job done of combating inflation with gold?
I think that gold sinks are massively important within World of Warcraft. Now, the way at the current time of this recording, the way that they're planning it is not agreeable with a lot of people, myself included, you know, with switching specs for even 100 gold or 10 gold or whatever. I think that there should be other ways of trying to put in some gold sinks.
And do you have any ideas for what you would do if you were allowed a day or two in the dev office, what you would suggest as far as that goes? Because that seems to be the tricky question. I mean, we can all say, yes, need more gold sinks, but how?
And the tricky part is to not piss off the player base.
Exactly.
So really, what could you do? Could you make the black market auction house accessible to more people?
Yes.
Which really could be a good point there. Could you increase some of the gold sinks? Like, instead of doing a quest line for flying, do it like you've done it for Mr. Pandaria. Just make him pay, you know, maybe 5,000, 10,000 gold. You know, something that's reasonable, but something that is still costly if you want to pay for flying. I mean, just not this.
In today's day and age, I have to wonder if 5,000, 10,000 gold would be enough. Considering how inflated the gold market is, I mean, people are going to yell at me for suggesting this. I would almost say that you'd have to make flight cost 100K.
And, well, and I just lose
their minds.
So. Well, right. I just put 5,000 gold up as a placeholder. Sure. But whatever number that they come up with. But once again, you want to make sure that that number is good so that way you don't, once again, make angry the player base.
Yeah, absolutely. Deadgree, do you have any thoughts about this?
I got a lot.
Let it rip, man.
Look, really, that you can't. You just can't make me pay for something that I've been getting for free. You just can't. You're going to make me mad. It's going to be bad. You're going to get bad PR on it. Don't do it. Please, Blizzard. Seriously. I hope they didn't do this. So with that said, you know, if I can't do that, then what can I do? Okay, let's come up with something new. Okay, everybody goes to flying and this and that. Look, that's been done. That's over with. You know what? They're going to do what they're going to do with flying, and that's over with. And I'm not trying to jump on Joe or whatever, but I'm just saying, you know, those kind of ideas are just outdated. Let's get something fresh. You know, let's take a look at several problems of the game, right? What's the problem of the game that we could fix? Five-man dungeons. I just want to take a nap when I'm in a five-man dungeon. It's just not fun. I mean, come on, really. It just isn't fun. I don't do them. I just don't, because it's just not the gameplay that it used to be, you know, several years ago. It used to be exciting. You're hard hitting, get in there, you crush on it, you have fun, you get your rewards, right? It was always about rewards. I don't feel that they're rewarding anymore. So we can fix these problems, right? What we can do is you can put you a little dude in there, and he says, hey, if you give me this much gold and you complete the dungeon doing these quests, then you get this extra reward at the end, just kind of like Empowered Rifts.
I was about to say, you're talking about Empowered Rifts from Diablo.
Yes, I am.
Well, why not? You're making it Diablo.
I need more Diablo in my WoW. Everybody knows that I'm a huge WoW Diablo fan. But not just that, but there's other ways that you could freshen up the old content with gold sinks. And you know, that it doesn't have to be an elaborate price. It doesn't have to be 100,000 gold. It could be 1,000 gold, you know, because if you go in there and you pay 1,000 gold and you win and you get something good, you're going to come back and you're going to pay 1,000 gold and you're going to win and you're going to get something good. And it's going to be, you know, and that's going to remove a lot of the gold. And people are, I think that that's a great system because, you know, if it's a mount, it's 100,000. Okay, I saved 100,000. I now have my mount. Now the gold sink is over for me. It's not a windmill. It's just a bulldozer, right. You know. And if you talk about flying mounts, if you talk about, you know, a gear piece or something, none of that matters, because as soon as you get the item,
you're no
it's
longer,
over.
Yeah, that's it.
It's over. So to me, a gold sink, like a mount or anything like that, it's just over.
Okay, I'm recording on February 1st and just finished up the interview with the Balarez Bears podcast, and I have Ersangus and Mudala back to answer one more question in this kind of time capsule yearly maintenance episode. And Ersangus, I have to say, near the end of our interview, you ended up stating something that made me kind of grit my teeth, because I was like, oh no, he's answering the question I was going to ask him for yearly maintenance.
I'm a psychic.
I didn't even realize it. The question, and if someone goes back to the episode in February, they'll know the answer. But the question I have for you guys is, at this point in the cycle of WoW, in February of 2016, we're 7 months after the release of Hellfire Citadel. And I was wondering, you know, do you feel that Warlords of Draenor needed more raid encounters and just maybe another raid tier before Legion, considering that at least at this point, it looks like we're dealing with a tier that's probably going to be about as long as Siege of Orgrimmar was? And Ersangus, in the interview, you obviously made your intentions clear there.
Okay, well, maybe I'll clarify a little bit more. So I absolutely believe that we could have done with another raid tier in Warlords of Draenor. I will also say that the world bosses were horribly disappointing. People did them for 3-4 weeks, and that was it. With the time frame we're looking at, as far as how long we've been in Hellfire Citadel, I think they could have easily snuck in one more raid tier. I'd say about 8 to 10 bosses.
And I'm wondering, just from a perspective of, since you guys talk about, you know, managing raid teams and raiders and such like that, do you find it very challenging to go this long a period of time without new content for people to tackle? And just, Mudala, what kind of stress does that put on the teams that you're involved in?
Well, you start getting into repetition, trying to find different things to do to keep your team together and, you know, excited about raiding. Because once you kill that final boss on whatever difficulty your goal is, people start saying, all right, well, I accomplished my goal. Now what? So you can go and say, all right, well, let's drop it down to normal and let's work on achievements. Or and this is something that my main raid team has starting to do is we're switching roles, going through and switching roles. So the tanks have to play a ranged or a healer. Melee also has to play ranged or healer. You know, people were, you know, permitting healers and ranged, melee and tanks. You know, just, you know, switching roles up, trying to keep it fresh and keep it, you know, keep everybody excited about continuing to raid.
You know, both you and Ersangus are really good at predicting my next questions when it comes to interviewing you guys, because the very next thing I was going to ask, so we'll just have Ersangus kind of add his thoughts to this, is what else can a raid leader or raid officers do to keep their other raiders engaged in content that's gone on for months and months?
Play Diablo 3. Oh,
or
no,
Overwatch,
wait.
If it's in beta.
We don't talk about Overwatch beta, okay?
Yeah, no, that's not allowed.
That's a taboo subject.
Not until we get it.
No, honestly, one of the biggest challenges you're going to run across in the end of Expansion Blues is keeping your raid team together. The raid content's not just not doing that. There are so many different things you guys can do as a raid team together, and it doesn't include raiding. Go play some heroes, play some Cards Against Humanity, hang out in GTA. You're friends with these people for, you know, even if you're just starting HFC, you've been friends with these people for 7 months, hopefully, probably longer. Why just World of Warcraft? I know that's what we primarily focus on, but these are your friends. Why not hang around with them? Even if, you know, said, you know what, guys, I don't feel like playing World of Warcraft tonight. Who wants to play some Rocket League?
And right now I have Amy and JF from The Overcast, not to be confused with Overcast. You can go back to episode 180 if you want to figure that whole thing out. How you two doing? We just got done doing our main interview for the show. Here we are in the first week of February. Beta has just started up again. And one thing I wanted to ask you two is something I heard you discussing on your most recent episode, commenting on, is just the hype that is surrounding this game. Now, obviously, for people who are fans of Blizzard games, like the three of us, we're going to be naturally hyped about Overwatch. But this hype seems to be extending far beyond the reach of just Blizzard fans. And you two were finding a little difficulty trying to explain it, and I am too, but let's try to talk it out for a second here and just speculate and take a guess. Amy, why does Overwatch have this much hype?
I think it's because Blizzard is building this world first. This is not a first-person shooter game. This is not just about, you know, going in and picking out your character and shooting other people. This is about this world post this Omnic crisis when the robots took over, and that's their focus first and foremost. And because they're not building, they're not going to build this whole world that's going to extend to, you know, movies and graphic novels and shorts and breakfast cereals. They're doing it from the ground up rather than trying to shoehorn it in afterwards. I think that's why the hype is going to be really big. And because Blizzard is so good at that sort of thing, they find that balance of serious in-depth world building and their sort of lighthearted humor that they're famous for.
I think that Blizzard is also flexing its PR muscles a lot more than we might notice from the surface. Something that I'm learning just right now, because I'm in the process of releasing something on my own, but I'm discovering what a company, even a small company, can do if they flex hard enough. And Blizzard, being a much more muscular company as far as PR is concerned, I assume that when they flex, it probably shakes the world a little. And I think that's what they're doing.
I definitely agree. I'm really impressed by this. When you get to the point that places like BuzzFeed are creating quizzes to find out which Overwatch character you are. By the way, apparently I'm Tracer.
I can hear it in your accent, love.
I know, really. The cavalry is definitely here. The funny thing is, I play Mercy more than anything, and I don't have that whole Austrian, German, whatever accent going on at all whatsoever. My last name is German, though, so... And one more question, just really quick here. Big time speculation and guessing. We know that, of course, they're going to be building upon this world and then creating things like animated shorts and all that stuff. But what do you think in terms of another game from the same world? Do you think that Overwatch has the potential to spawn a completely different format game, but in the same world? And how soon do you feel we could hear word about that? Amy, how about you?
I absolutely do. I could see an RPG. I wouldn't necessarily say an MMO, but I could definitely see an RPG. We've talked about game modes that we think would be good that actually would wind up being incredible as sort of single player missions, you know, if done properly. I think they'll give it some time, though. I think they'll want to build this world out first. I think they'll want to give us the animated shorts and, you know, give us the game for a while and the graphic novels and let us get used to that world. And then they'll start introducing other things. So I'd say we're at least a couple years out.
Yeah, I mean, you think about World of Warcraft, it took 10 years for them to decide, hey, let's do something in the same world, but a completely different genre. What are your thoughts on it, JF? Do you think we'll see a different kind of format game? What would it be, and how soon do you think we could see it?
I'll be honest, I'll be surprised if we see another game, but I think Amy's correct that if we do, it would probably be an RPG where you choose, like, very... Imagine playing Skyrim in the world of Overwatch, where you pick a robot or a human or a metahuman or a cyborg, and then you give it powers and build from there and solve the mystery of the Omnic assassins, whatever. I don't know, but it's definitely what would fit the storytelling sort of format that they want to have with Overwatch would be to have something that's very story heavy, a la Skyrim. So yeah, an RPG. But I think what they want to do is stick to the FPS sort of MOBA hybrid as the place where people come to play the characters, but have everything around it be much richer than that.
And that is where I will stop that clip, and we're done with that. Awesome.
Because I could go on.
Yeah.
you timed yourself pretty well. You found a good spot to stop. But
it's so hard.
Like I said, I've listened to about 5 or 6 episodes of you guys, and I do know that you like to talk on and on and on. So I really, lengthwise, actually, I thought your answers were great. I think you nailed it.
Good. Because I'm building a reputation on a few podcasts for was it the first time we were on Trivia Geeks? It was supposed to be an hour show.
And isn't it like being three?
Two and a half hours.
It was two after they edited it.
The worst.
Oh man.
It was a bathroom break.
That's right.
Well, give me a second here as I stop my stuff here. The podcaster for this week's World of Warcraft Mischief Companion Pet Contest is Garrett Weinzerl. I won't blame you if you spell his name wrong, although try to get it right. He appreciates that. Email Garrett Weinzerl in your email to realmpodcast@gmail.com. Include contest in the subject line. Good luck, and now back to the show. All right, I have Seraphis and Corey here from Azeroth Pirate Radio, having just talked about their past 100 episodes on the show. Gentlemen, of course, like I said, I'd first interviewed you 2 years ago, back in January of 2014, and back then, the Blizzard landscape was really different. Overwatch didn't exist. Hearthstone's open beta opened up just a couple weeks after that episode. Heroes of the Storm was just announced at BlizzCon after being renamed twice. I'm wondering, from your perspective, how has Blizzard's expansion in multiple titles affected each of you as parents, as gamers, and as podcasters? Seraphis, if you want to go first.
Well, the biggest problem I have is I've fallen in love with Heroes of the Storm, and while I'm not a big first-person shooter, I have been enjoying Overwatch, and I still love World of Warcraft, and I like StarCraft. So, and then there's also Diablo 3 that I like playing, and all of a sudden, all my gaming time is taken up by Blizzard games. So how dare Blizzard do this to me? I have games for my console still in the cellophane over there. It's not fair. It's not right, and somebody at Blizzard should be punished for what they're doing.
How dare they give you this much content?
How dare they?
Do you have a different take on it, Q?
Well, it's made me want to break my phone, thanks to Hearthstone. I never got into Diablo, and I just couldn't. Overwatch has made me a console gamer, because that's where I have to play it. It's either that or put Windows on my Mac, which I just refuse to do. So I play it on the nice Xbox One. StarCraft 2 is never going to leave my cadre of things that I pick up. Like, once a week I play a few matches. And World of Warcraft, while I don't think I'll ever kill my subscription, I certainly don't play it nearly as much as I used to, because Heroes of the Storm takes up my time. I love it. It's quick. I can get in. It's got all of the Blizzard properties and IPs kind of represented in it. So it's my big Blizzard bag in one game. And I can just get in there quick and dirty, play a few matches, and be off on my way and feel satisfied in my gaming experience with it.
I'm having fun with some of these earlier questions I'm asking shows from the earlier part of the year. In some cases, I'm asking them to make bold predictions. So I might as well quickly let you guys do that as well. Here we are in the middle of February as we record this. Seraphis, give a bold prediction of anything that Blizzard will do in the year of 2016 that will blow our minds that we haven't talked about yet.
Well, I think that we're going to see them pair up their games more with mobile apps. I think we're going to see a much more focused approach to that. So you'll see companion apps for World of Warcraft, possibly Diablo, StarCraft, Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch, etc. So I think we're going to see that.
Do we finally get pet battles on our cell phones?
You would think at this point that it's not like self-contained in a in an expansion, like Corey Stockton has kept saying. You would think.
I think Pokemon Go is going to beat them to the punch, and then they're going to say, well, screw it.
I mean, they should. They honestly should. I'm just not sure. I feel like they're also stubborn to a fault. So, I don't know. I think we'll see spectating for Overwatch via an app sooner than pet battles for World of Warcraft.
Okay. How about a bold prediction from you, Q?
By the end of 2016, Mike Morhaime retires from Blizzard Entertainment. They put a big package together and lure Roger Goodell from the NFL to come lead the Blizzard Entertainment charge. Roger Goodell's first act as the new commissioner of Blizzard Entertainment Games is to look into potential PEDs and doping and the usage of HGH in the Heroes of the Dorm contest. He also then turns around and orders an inquiry into all of the Zeppelins used and airships used throughout World of Warcraft for their PSI levels to ensure that they are all meeting strict and rigid testing and PSI levels for the integrity of World of Warcraft.
And for those of you who don't know who Roger Goodell is, he is the hated commissioner of the NFL. For context.
I need a minute. I'm broken, guys. I'm sorry.
I think they know who he is.
I just want to know, when Mike Morhaime retires, is he also going to resurrect a Scrooge McDuck-like money bin?
I thought they already had one.
Yeah, they've got that.
Oh, okay. I meant like more of a personal one. I mean, I figured they had one on Blizzard's campus.
I am with the hosts of the Dirty Casuals podcast. They are the Heroes of the Storm podcast for the rest of us. And we are talking near the end of February, where leaming has been running rampant. Balance changes have been happening on a weekly basis. And the four of us are still waiting for further word on arena mode, which is supposed to be the big feature added to Heroes of the Storm this year. Now, I was wondering what you three think about arena mode. By the time people are listening to this, hopefully it will already be out, unless Blizzard happens to do Blizzard things and push it to next year. assuming it does come out this year, Oakley, why don't we start with you? What are your hopes for this upcoming game mode, besides the fact that it looks to be something similar to League of Legends ARAM mode, as it were?
Well, I really hope that it comes out on time, first of all. I believe they said it's supposed to come out sometime this summer, so I've got my fingers crossed that it comes out then. I hope we get some more map variety and some more like objective variety over what I saw with it at BlizzCon. It was pretty basic, a quick like collect the seeds type deal. First one to collect them all wins. While that's fun and everything, I hope that they come up with some different modes to go with their arena.
Argyle, do you have anything you'd like to add? Are there any concerns that you might have with this mode? Is arena something that should be just as big as the normal game mode itself?
It looks like it's going to be like a really fun, almost like party game mode, just to blow off some steam. And I'm actually the only one of the three of us that did not get a chance to play it already, since both Oakley and Bearcat were at BlizzCon and got to try it out. So I've just been kind of like rubbing my hands together, waiting just to get into the frenzy of it all.
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel something similar to the feeling I get when Tavern Brawl is out. And I almost wonder, it'd be kind of neat if the arena changed on a weekly basis.
That would be great, yeah. As long as it's not spiders everywhere, I'm sick of that one.
What about you, Bearcat? You've actually got to try out arena mode at BlizzCon, so you have a little bit of experience with it. What are your hopes for arena once it releases?
Mine's somewhat related to arena, but also kind of related to custom games. I really think that they could take a leaf out of Overwatch's customs games and where they have tons of rules that you can implement. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really cool to invite 10 people into a match and then be like, okay, this is definitely an all-leaming match. And then we just all blow each other up. Or, you know, so you could control that. That's what I really want. I want to be able to control some of the rules. I want this map. I want this hero. I want this side to be this hero, or maybe this side to be this hero. I think that would be my biggest hope for this mode.
Specialists only.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All Abathurs, stop fight.
All healers, yes. All five Abathurs versus five Abathurs.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be terrible. They all just be like locusts everywhere. Why don't you just play StarCraft?
All right. So this is March 2nd of 2016. And I have with me Jason and Diz, the co-hosts of the World of Z's podcast. Gentlemen, we just spent some time trying to guess some 80s movies and talking about your show and all the fun that you're having in the World of Warcraft right now. One of the things that appealed to me about your podcast and just about you two in particular is how much fun you are having in-game during a time where, for a lot of people, they're just waiting for the next thing. You two and your guild overall aren't waiting for the next thing. You are doing things in the World of Warcraft right now. And what I wanted to ask each of you to give your own answer about this is, how exactly is it that you have been able to keep your guild not only healthy, but growing during this slow time for WoW, with just months away until Legion?
I think they were just very active in keeping everybody involved and trying to cover all the bases of what everybody wants to do, definitely through Mumble. I mean, it's a lot more personal experience when you have voice going on, and we just have a lot of fun in raid. And whether we're, you know, doing current contents, we go back to doing old achievements as a guild, even on non-raid nights. I mean, you just don't get on when there's not people on and people looking to do things. You know, there's times even when you get on and you're just kind of like, oh, I just want to go do some archaeology. And everyone's like, hey, you want to go run this? And you're like, all right, you know, then you go with, because you just have too much fun not going with. So I just think our interaction level, and we just have great people. It's knock on wood, we're just a drama free. We just don't run into a lot of the headaches that you run into, especially in an active guild where you have personalities that collide or people that don't like each other. I mean, we have quite a bit of different personalities from how hardcore people are from playing and raiding or PvP. And we just, everyone just seems to get along, and we've been growing, and people we've been bringing in are great, and everybody wants to be a part. We never have a problem having someone who wants to put effort in that helping the guild out. It's pretty amazing. Well, yeah.
One thing I guess I just want to kind of follow up on this. And I mean, you can still answer that first question too, Diz, but as the GM of the Z's guild, is, what would you attribute your success to as far as the guild overall? And do you have any advice for guild officers or guild masters in other guilds on how they can keep things going during a lull?
Well, I don't know that I'd have a lot of advice. I think a lot of it, Ro, is the makeup of the people in our guild. There's at times, there's 10 million WoW players, and a lot of times it drops down to 5 million. And those 5 million seem to be the type of people that gravitate to our guild. They love playing the game. Maybe they're not real strong end game raiders. So when they, you know, by the time that you've gotten this far into an expansion, they're kind of ready to raid. And to go back to what Jason was saying, we just love doing all kinds of things. The other day we did we're on a pretty strong alliance side server. So as a guild, we went and killed all the leaders of the Horde, and we ran into some problems every now and then with other Horde players. But for the most part, there's that. And then there's things like going to visit Robin Williams, tribute on the island as a guild, finding little Easter eggs as a guild, those kind of things. As long as you have people willing to be a part of that kind of experience in game, it turns out to be fun, and we joke around, we have fun and talk, and you meet lifelong friends, and it's more, I can relate it to a poker night. Instead of it being five or six people showing up to play poker, we're 10 or 12 people or 14 people, 20 people for that matter, showing up to play WoW and just having a blast. So there's a lot of guilds out there with guild masters that they're very strong into raiding and that's what they do, or they're very strong in PvP and that's what they do, and that's done and gone. There's not a lot there left for them, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're more catered, like I said, to the blue collar player, and we're the guild where
everybody knows your name and you want to just come out and have a beer. So that's how I could relate that too.
We don't ever have to ask anyone to contribute. Everyone is just always so willing to contribute.
Right.
Help the guild. Right. You know, we have people now, Kat and Drew are streaming our raids. Lisa takes care of the Facebook page. Danny's making YouTube videos of our raids. We've never asked anyone to do any of those things, and they just enjoy playing and they just enjoy doing it. That, you know, we've just been expanding just little things like that that keep things interesting.
Sounds like a pretty special community.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We
really love it too. Thank you very much.
And I will stop recording. Right now I have with me Syl, formerly of Girls Gone WoW, currently of the Battle Chat podcast, and we just got done recording the normal interview for Realm Maintenance. It's right now March 7th of 2016. Syl, one thing I wanted to ask you about as far as for your question. The other night, I was talking to raid members about endgame content in World of Warcraft, and one common point of concern or distress that I've seen from a number of players, my fellow raid members and others as well, is that the amount of content in Warlords post-launch was lacking but also infrequent. And primarily I'm talking about the stuff that has nothing to do with raiding whatsoever. I mean, we know it's pretty much a given that when the expansion comes out, we're going to get raids. People wanted more to do than just raiding, and it felt like there wasn't much of that. So my question to you, months before Legion comes out, is what are you hoping to get in terms of endgame content in Legion outside of all the raid stuff that we're getting?
What I really want is something that is more lore and story orientated. So like with the Garrison campaigns, when you got a quest, like every week you got a new quest for the Garrison campaign. I want something like that, that will just build up, or you get like hidden quests all of a sudden because you've unlocked something, or you've been so many days in game doing something, or you picked something up and all of a sudden, oh, this is going to start a whole new quest line that we haven't seen yet. I want something like that that will just keep me on my toes and just get me more involved into the story.
Now, some would say when Garrisons were out in Warlords of Draenor that we kind of got that, how like every week there was a new Garrison quest. Now, I have my own opinions about those weekly Garrison story quests. But I'm just wondering, is that what you're talking about, or does there need to be something more to it than what we got from those Garrison weeklies? If you just go into a little more detail about what you're looking for.
No, I think it's basically that would be the basis. So you have like a weekly quest, but it could spin off into more story, or it could unlock maybe a hidden area all of a sudden just because you've found an item or you found a quest that leads to an item that unlocks something and you're just like, what's this? And all of a sudden it's like Aladdin's cave. All of a sudden it opens up and oh wow, there's more stuff in here that I could explore and it leads to a new storyline. That's what I would like. I know it's asking for a lot because your game has to be so fluid to change. But yeah, I think the basis of the Garrison campaigns, that could work. But it has to be something that really, really does something for your character. And I think also for the story in Legion. But that makes you want to go out and explore and maybe do something really random. You know, like for instance, I don't know. You fish up 50 fish in a certain river and all of a sudden you get like a bottle with a quest in there and it's totally random. And just go out and go to that area and see what happens.
It kind of reminds me of playing old school MMO Ultima Online and just doing some random monster hunting and stuff. And I killed something. Next thing I know, I have this treasure map that's for this very difficult fight that like would have required a group of people to go to. And I did nothing specific to get the map. It just happened to randomly be on something and it led to like this big epic gathering and adventure and stuff. You know, I think that's now that you're talking about in that way, I think personally what I'm looking for myself is a little more randomness, a little less structure and a little more randomness and something that can make each person's endgame journey a little more personal and specific to them.
Yeah, it's like what some games have, for instance, with cooking. You just grab random ingredients, start mixing, and oh, look, you've discovered a completely new recipe that could be completely unique to your character because you did the right combination, or, you know, stuff like that. I would love it if there would be a little bit more uniqueness around the characters and not just that you go like, okay, let me see on Wowhead where the drop rate is for this. And, you know, I want a little bit more that you're like, oh, it makes you feel really special to find something that will lead your character into a new story or a new skill or just something that makes people unique.
Do you think that it, just because you brought up Wowhead and this like question just came up to me totally off the top of my head, do you think that because we live in an age now where all of this information is so easily accessible by going to Wowhead or using MMO Champion site and stuff, that that's kind of killed some of the fun and excitement out of the exploration and discovery factors that were involved in MMOs from the early part of the age?
Definitely. Definitely. Because I always loved Warcraft Less Traveled, mm-hmm. and it really made you feel like, oh, wow, I've never seen that. And you actually go to those places, but it feels like everything is being so, it's on a grid and that's there. And it's, you know, half of the fun has just been taken out because everything is already out there and already just for everyone to see. And it doesn't make it feel that special anymore. Like you really achieved something.
I totally agree. Sometimes there is a thing is too much information. That's definitely...
Yes, and I know a lot of people don't like it when I compare it to other games, but for instance, I go into Black Desert online and I have no clue what's going on, what I'm doing. You get a bit of a minimal tutorial and it's just like, okay, what? I have no idea. I'm just going to hit things or I'm just going to go fishing for a while and all of a sudden you earn a title or something else happens. And that's what I really think that WoW could, you know, if they could implement a little bit of those things into their game, I think they would have an absolute winner then.
Okay, I'm here with the host of the Death Rattle Crew podcast, recording this on March 15th. We've talked a lot about Whispers of the Old Gods, and I imagine for, you know, during the months of March and April, there's going to be a lot of talk about Whispers of the Old Gods since they're just drip-feeding us cards. But I want to talk about something that's not about the expansion. I was actually listening to episode 57 of the Death Rattle Crew in preparation for this interview, guys. And I heard a couple of you bring up concerns about the tournament system and how the current system for earning points to play in the season championship scene, it feels a bit awkward because the nutshell, the problem being that ladder rankings are more important than playing in smaller tournaments that help you qualify to play in bigger tournaments. So I wanted to go around the table here, starting with you, Mike. And I was wondering how each of you would address this issue if you think that it's a big enough issue to address in the first place.
Oh, man. I would like to see more emphasis put on, I guess, tournament play versus ladder play. I don't want to speak for the rest of the guys on the show, but I know there is some emotion on that statement as well. How to fix it, though? I don't know. I personally am not a big tournament player. That's just not my forte for those of us on the show, but I know Brad has a lot of experience in that.
And I think, Brad, actually, you were the one who did most of the talking back on episode 57. And I know you have many an issue about this.
I do. I think that there are two major factors going into this if you wanted to change it. There's the fact that this is a promotional tour for them. So like when they say they're creating like a pro tour scene or a competitive scene, it's a promotional system for both Hearthstone, Twitch, whatever medians the tournament scene is going on, all the different tournament organizers, these are promotional systems for them. So their biggest factor that when they're considering it is, how do we best promote it? And you see that in a lot of Hearthstone tournaments. They have invites where they'll invite big streamers into tournaments. So that being said, the other factor going in the tournament scene is, as you said, the ladder system currently benefits the tournament player more, because of how the points structuring is currently built in. And I think the reason they do that is because the point structuring is attuned to benefits people who are streaming. And so those people who are streaming are going to have more time to get themselves to the top of the point or the ladder on Hearthstone, and thus earn more points and get into these major, more profiling tournament scene. And that helps promote the game more as well. So it's mutually beneficial for both of these parties. However, for people who work a lot, but want to be able to play in the tournament scene, they're not able to spend those 20, 30, 40 hours a month on getting themselves to the top of the ladder. And so my personal opinion on the fact is that, or on the matter, not on the fact, is that, the tournament scene is a little bit too heavy on the ladder, is how I feel about it. And I think that a way to approach fixing that is, or maybe not fixing it, but a change in strategy in that is to make the tournaments a little bit more of a piece of, or like for instance, the laddering system gives you 5 points for making top 100. However, making top 4 in a tournament only gives you 1 point. So I think a good way to do that is to scale the system on tournaments a little bit. And the way you can do that is saying top 8 gives you 1 point, top 4 gives you 2 points, top 2 gives you 3 points, and the winner gets 4. And that allows for more people to play in the tournament system, as well as some players to get more points, even if they don't get a lot of points. Like say somebody gets top 8 and it's one tournament every month, it gives them an incentive to keep playing in tournaments as well. And I think that helps grow the tournament scene when you reward more players with a point, even if it's just 1 point. You know, that getting that piece is a nice thing to make people feel more involved and desire being in that in the tournaments, basically.
Well, yeah. One argument I'd make really quick before I get your thoughts, Tom. One thing I've noticed from my point of view is that it feels like there is somewhat of a lack of tournaments, or more so, while there may be tournaments out there, there's a lack of awareness of the smaller tournament scene. And I feel that one of the key problems is that there's the lack of a very apparent official online tournament structure, like mm-hmm. somewhere where you can go on, say, the client itself and see, hey, this is where, when, and how tournaments are happening. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Geez. I'm going to be entirely honest with you. I'm not a tournament player, and it's hard for me to give relevant.
You are on my side of the court.
Yeah, I am. I'm unfortunately not a tournament player, and I'd like to be, but I don't put in enough work when it comes to Hearthstone, and I need to put in more effort into this. It comes from I played a lot of games when I was younger. Because I say
we
that
all had no lives and more free time.
Right.
Right. When I say that as a 19-year-old. yeah. I mean 12. Whatever. Yeah, 12 year old. Uh-huh. Anyways, I played League of Legends. I played Dota. I played Magic. I even played Halo, Reach, and 4. And I was okay at all of these games. I was never good. I've gotten a lot of knowledge from all of those games. And I've realized a lot of things, and I've learned how to learn, if that makes sense. I've learned how to get better at things, and then I found out about Magic, and then I learned about Magic, and I learned how to learn Magic, and that's when I really started to try and get invested in the tournament scene. But as you know, Magic is a physical card game and not a digital game, mm-hmm. Unless you play it on the client, and I'm not going to do that. and so that requires transportation. That requires money, like lots of money to, you know, time, transportation, money to buy gas, money to buy food, money to buy cards. And that's that's a lot to ask for when I was in my peak of this stuff for a 17-year-old. And I couldn't invest in that. And that was really unfortunate for me because I had a lot of other stuff and a lot of other responsibilities. But
do you think that's maybe why they put so much of an emphasis on the ladder scene? Because it allows people to play for the big leagues, as it were, as long as without having to travel or spend any additional money, really?
That's pretty much exactly what I was going to get to. The point is not about me. It's about people like me. Mm-hmm. It's people who don't have or who aren't able to go pro or who don't necessarily want to go pro. But I do think because of what I have learned in the past from all of these games and from what I've seen, there is a certain accessibility that Hearthstone has. One, because it is the first digital card game that got this big. And the fact that we have a lot of tournaments that we do on a regular basis is awesome. But I think, and I'm a little biased in this, and I don't have enough experience in the tournament scene to say this with certainty, but it is of my opinion at this point in time that I think the tournament scene should be similar to that of how they did it in Magic, where there are there's the Pro Tour, and then there's the World Championships, and then you have
smaller
some
Grand Prix tournaments and such.
Exactly, yeah, and you have some smaller tournaments under that. You have small invitationals that you get invited to by winning even smaller tournaments, and it's kind of like a tiered system. You know, some professional players are just going to be at a level where they or are going to be grinding events so often that they're by nature already in, you know, people who play on the Pro Tour are going to be playing on the Pro Tour often. Like, that's how they work. And they're going to be grinding Star City Game opens and invitationals, and they're going to be grinding the Grand Prix. And there are smaller events like going all the way down to Friday Night Magic, where Friday Night Magic for a lot of people is just, you know, I'm off work at 7. We start drafting at 7:30, or we start playing standard at 7:30, and I have my deck that I built myself from a fat pack, and it's going to be awful, and I'm going to have a great time. And people like that. People like to do that and play in those casual tournaments. But people also like to go to FNM and play somewhat competitively. And I think that is one way that the tournament scene could get better, is by having a sort of a tiered system for – I'm pretty sure Brad and Mushu are going to cringe at this, but having a tiered system of tournaments for casuals and for tryhards. Well, so I think that makes it easier for people to transition from being just a ladder player or being a casual or a tryhard to getting actually better at the game and being able to have that, like, because of Hearthstone being so accessible, being to rank up and go higher with your Hearthstone career.
To kind of go off that then, Matt, what do you think about a tournament series for tryhards and casuals? Now, to me, when I hear that, I kind of think that's really what Fireside Gatherings are trying to be. They're almost kind of the analog to Friday Night Magic for Magic the Gathering, wouldn't you say?
Yep, no, I agree with that. That Fireside Gatherings are very sort of covering that casual basis. I mean, it's definitely got more of that, I guess, what I would think of Friday Night Magic has, in that you show up to your local card store and play some games and have a bunch of fun, whereas the more try-hard tournaments are definitely out there, the ones that Brad and myself compete in, where you stay up to, for at least for me, an ungodly hour of the morning and play against people for points. Whereas Fireside Gathering, there's still the points dream sometimes, depending on how many people they have and, you know, certification and stuff. But yeah, it's basically a tournament for casuals.
And just kind of to wrap things up, Brad, do you think that a bigger deal should be made about Fireside Gatherings, perhaps make them more relevant in as far as the whole tournament scene goes, and perhaps make them a bit of a bigger deal as far as acquiring points for tournament play?
Yeah, totally. I think the social dynamic, you actually talked about this in your last episode of your podcast, which is obviously this isn't going to be aired right after this, but mm-hmm. you talked about the social dynamics of WoW and how that's keeping people in the game. And the social dynamics of being able to go to a physical location and meet other Hearthstone players in your local region gives you that ability to connect with people. And that's a really, really powerful tool to both expanding and developing the game in general. And so I think really Fireside Gatherings are it seems like they're struggling to really get it going, but if they can get it up and running and they're seeing good attendance, and once they get to that point, I think that Fireside Gatherings help increase the longevity of the game.
Thank you for listening to the first part of Yearly Maintenance 2016. If you'd like to support the show, you can always do so by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Realm Maintenance Podcast can be found on most podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next Tuesday, don't forget to catch the regular episode of Realm Maintenance, including my interview with the Starting Zone podcast, and part 2 of Yearly Maintenance will be here next Friday. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to the hosts of WoW Talk, Velen's Chosen, The Richter Scale, Your WoW Many, Balrez Bears, The Overcast, Azeroth Pirate Radio, Dirty Casuals, World of Z's, Battle Chat, and the Death Rattle crew for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?